Hello again, I'm Drew Wilder. It is your business talk, straight talk. We talk to Stan Sadlak every weekend at this time. All about business, and Steeplechase Advisors brings you the show. They've been helping businesses for many years. Taxes, insurance, real estate, asset protection, business succession, even personnel problems. And welcome, Stan Sadlak.
Hey, Drew.
So we're going to talk about regulations. I mean, and I'm in an industry that's been regulated since the beginning, from the Federal Communications Commission, but a lot of businesses didn't have the regulations that they now have. And remember when Trump was president, right? He said for every regulation, what was it? Like every regulation, I'm going to get rid of two regulations. But now so many of them are back.
Let's answer that question a little differently.
Okay.
What's the fastest growing industry in America?
Lawyers. No, wouldn't be lawyers. Fastest growing
significantly,
industry? Something in technology.
No.
No?
The government.
Oh, the government. Okay, that was too.
They just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, yeah, and creating more regulation. Now, regulation is all about control.
Right.
And some people use it to their advantage. Some people use it to their disadvantage. Mm-hmm. So, for example, what's the most popular peanut butter in America?
Used to be Skippy. It's got to be Skippy still.
Well, that was number one, yep, became number two, and Procter & Gamble came out with this new peanut butter called Jiffy.
Right, I was going to say Jiffy would be.
So yeah, when that occurred, they were a new startup. Mm-hmm. So the top three peanut butters are Jiffy, Skippy, and what's number three? I don't remember.
I mean, I buy it where you grind the peanuts.
Oh, you like the
yeah,
crunch.
It tastes, even if it's psychological, it seems to taste better.
Right.
It's probably psychological on my part.
But what's very interesting, so when Jif came out and Skippy was by far the number one peanut butter, yeah, what occurred is that after testing it, they found that Jiffy peanut butter had sugar in it and was much sweeter. So the politics started to prevail, mm-hmm, and they started to have hearings in Washington about how much additives can be put into peanut butter. Huh. So Skippy tried to get past that it must be at least 95% peanuts.
Huh, I didn't know that.
You know, it cannot go below 95%. Well, these hearings went on for years, but Procter & Gamble was such a big company, right, and hired such great advertising executives to put together a campaign. So whereas Skippy became famous for their crunch, Jiffy's marketing was towards the mothers. Good mothers give their kids Jiffy.
Right.
So a whole new generation. What happened during World War II, Skippy would give peanut butter to all the soldiers.
Right, right.
So that the baby boomers then used Skippy. Then when Jif came about, or it was originally Jif, they focused on the mothers. What the backlash and the hearings were so great that they approved a less percentage of peanuts being in the peanut butter,
so and not 95,
and the other companies had to change their formulas to add sugar and honey so their peanut butter would be sweeter. You know, Skippy is still the healthiest, but
right,
still
right,
they all had to change to conform to the regulations. So you ask me how regulations can change things. Well, you know, in some areas we have no regulations. Take a look at the internet. It is really the Wild West,
right,
and it continues to be. And then when they try to put in regulations, we get judges that rule against something.
Yeah.
You know, the collusion, for example, the most recent one was one judge said that the government can't collude with the social media.
Mm-hmm.
Then the appeals judge says, yes, they can collude with them. So which way it goes, I know it is very, very frustrating because some of these regulations are very difficult to keep up with. Right. I mean, if you've ever owned a restaurant and you look at all of the regulations you have to go through in the place, say, oh my God, is this worth it? So in some ways, I'm not saying regulations are bad. I'm just saying that they can be very onerous, and you better understand them before you get into that particular industry.
Right. Well, you say you spend more time paperwork and filing forms and stuff like that.
Take a look at the IRS, all the forms you got to fill out. You know, that's why a lot of people go to cash businesses, because life is much simpler.
Right, right. Can't track that. Well, have they hired all 87,000?
Well, you know, they're looking. But they're really looking to digitize our economies. Yeah. I I'm a broken record talking about one world, one government, one currency. I mean, they're looking to digitize the currency, and they will eventually succeed with that. So, what's going to happen to all the people that have cash? What are you going to do? Are you going to turn it in? And I was never a fan of cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that was the right way. But that was a test run. I mean, the government was heavily involved with that to see how it would go.
Right. Yeah, they were testing how people would respond and react to that.
I mean, there is just so much turmoil going on today relating to disclosure. What's really going on in the world? I mean, I'll use even a more important example, and that refers to UFOs. Mm-hmm. I mean, every day you turn around and you have shows on TV like Skinwalker Ranch or Ancient Aliens, and they're now calling more and more for full disclosure. Now, are all these UFOs maybe really our government going to our secret base on the backside of the moon? Right. You know, before they launch off to our base on Mars. I mean, who knows? I mean, really, who knows if we? I mean, the Space Force was created for a reason. Right. Isn't it interesting that we don't go down into the depths of the ocean to explore the ocean, but instead we go to, to Mars, or we're looking at to explore for gold on asteroids. I mean, there are just so many other agendas going on in this world. Meanwhile, I'm afraid to go on a subway in New York City because I might get stabbed.
You take your life in your hands. But so what good is there? So you're saying there is some good in having regulations, just not too many.
Well, the question is the regulations we have, are they being enforced? Of course not. We're in a society today. I mean, look at what the Biden family gets away with. Where is adherence or enforcement of the laws? Look at the immigration. So we have, it depends who you are. If we have a regulation, well, if you're Hunter Biden, it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah, two sets of rules.
But if you're Drew Wilder, you're going to jail, kiddo, for not, for parking too close to the fire hydrant.
So it's two justice systems, two sets of rules, and if you're not on one side, you could be in big trouble. But
I mean, can you blame people today for being so agitated? I mean, if you take a look at older people, especially, they are more agitated today than they have ever been. You know, I see so many of them giving up their landlines for their cell phone, giving up their newspaper because they don't like the way it's delivered or what's being covered. And they're becoming more and more isolated. And people are getting so disgusted with the news, getting so disgusted with the high prices that they're just very, very agitated.
So what's the answer? Is there an answer?
get
rid of a lot of the regulations and free people. That's how entrepreneurship begins, when you have the freedom to come up with inventions and expand the business into different directions.
Well, I mean, we have such a deep state in Washington, D.C., the regulation by the government, that it makes it does stymie any type of entrepreneurial activity. There are a few and far between that get over the hurdles. But
what do they do differently to get over the hurdles?
Well, there's three things. One is they got to be skilled at what they do. Secondly is the timing. You got to pick the right time to do certain things. And lastly, pure luck. You know, it all comes down to, and there's no, I don't care whether you're playing the stock market, you're buying a lottery ticket, you're starting a horseshoe business. Mm-hmm. It all boils down to the skill at which you do the work, the timing at which you decide to go into the business, and lastly is luck. I mean, so if you take a look, say today, I want to, you know, look, I just lost my job at the insurance company. Mm-hmm. I want to go mm-hmm. into my own business. Mm-hmm. So what would make sense for me to consider out there? Mm-hmm. I mean, do I want to go into a gun manufacturing business? Well, there's a lot of regulation there and a lot of lawsuits.
Right.
Do I want to go into buy a restaurant or start a restaurant mm-hmm. where I have a lot of inventory and a lot of overhead and I got to wait for people to walk through the door? Mm-hmm. Well, man, you know, I'm a good cook. Maybe I'll do catering since I know how many people are going to be mm-hmm. there. I know
right.
what
you
to
can
buy.
Control.
I know I can control
right.
what I want
right.
to do. Or, you know, do I become an electrician, start as an apprentice, mm-hmm. learn the trade. I don't really have any inventory mm-hmm. and I get paid, you know, just for a house visit, $250. So really, what am I looking to accomplish here? Or do I go to school for the next 4 years, pay $100,000, and what will I do when I go out? Mm-hmm. Will I build AI computers that will replace me?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of interesting questions that a business owner has to go through before he becomes a business owner, because little business owners become big business owners,
right.
hopefully.
Hopefully,
so, yes.
I never thought about choosing a business based on the regulations or lack of.
Well,
That's an interesting thought.
Yeah, that has to become, you know, a consideration today, because the regulations just get greater and greater.
Right.
And you also have to look at who's going to be enforcing the regulators.
Mm.
You know, if you take a look at, if you have, is it going to be the IRS? Mm. Is it going to be the state of Connecticut? Is it going to be the, you know, I once, this is 40 years ago. So I was marginally involved with a real estate project.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Marginally. I was the accountant for it. Mm-hmm, I mean, really mm-hmm. marginally. So all of a sudden, I had one day, The knocking at the door was the EPA with, you know, a cease and desist. I said, with what?
Right.
Well, there was a project going on that I was doing the accounting on, and there was, I guess, a leak or something mm-hmm. in the ground, or environmental issues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, had nothing to do with me. And all of a sudden, you know, I get dragged into this thing. And obviously it went away and was nothing. But, I mean, talk about being, you know, disconcerting.
Interesting. We're talking to Stan Sadlak, sponsored by Steeplechase Advisors. It's your business. And, I mean, you better call Stan, because so you can help when you sit down with a business. And we'll tell you in a few minutes towards the end of the show how you can get in touch with Stan and get a business coach.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to protect your assets.
Okay, that's number one.
That's number one. In today's environment, we're going to look at how to protect your assets.
Yeah.
Be very creative in that planning. And then secondly, we're going to take a look. We're going to diagnose your business and say, where are you making money and where are you not? For example, I talked about the restaurant.
Right.
Well, maybe you should be doing catering instead of operating a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who open a restaurant have an ego that they're trying to fulfill.
Right.
I mean,
right.
that's what everybody dreams of, opening a restaurant.
Right.
And I can't blame them. I mean, we all go through that thought process.
It's
the
dream.
Do a great job.
Yeah.
But it's a lousy business, and it's
right.
a hard business. You know, and then when you get into regular small businesses, is how do you make that transition from a one-person operation to a five-person operation to a 20? Most people never get beyond the one- to two-man operation.
Right, right.
You take a look at it today, probably one of the biggest industries is mowing lawns and landscaping.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, they did not exist.
Right, you didn't have all these
people
on every block that'll do your lawn.
Right.
And I guess they do well because they stay in business.
Well, they do. They do, you know, but they also have these robotic lawnmowers that go all around.
Right.
And I think it also takes a look at, you know, we're really becoming a very divided society. So when I grew up, the middle class was very prevalent. Mm-hmm. So I lived on a street where, you know, on that street as an example, very modest looking houses. Mm-hmm. One person was an oil delivery guy.
Mm-hmm.
Three or four houses were teachers. Mm-hmm. One guy owned a trucking business. Mm-hmm. Another guy was the mayor, who was a lawyer. Another person was had a small construction business where he was basically the owner operator with a backhoe, did driveways, and there were five or six 4-unit apartment buildings, you know, intermingled with single family.
Right.
Very, very modest. Well, today, our neighborhoods were. Where they were originally, there was a sort of a blend from blue collar to middle class mm-hmm. to, you know, some more wealthy individuals, but it was more blended. You didn't really tell. You didn't have the McMansions.
Right.
Well,
right.
Today we really are much more divided society. Our middle class has disappeared,
disappearing.
Right.
It's either the lower end or the higher end.
Right. And that's really creating an interesting divide, and that's why we're looking. You can't hire somebody for less than $20 an hour. You know, I hired somebody as a receptionist, and I think we started her at $17 an hour. And you know, she came in, and I said, you know, I've hired a few people, but you know, either they don't show up for work, or they quit after 2 weeks to go back on unemployment. She said, oh, that's very unprofessional. So I said, we'll give it a shot. So everything goes fine for 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And she calls up one day and says, I'm not coming back in. So, and I'm thinking to myself, well, she didn't even talk to me. Well, she said that was unprofessional. Well, you know, she didn't want to work. People don't want to work.
So why'd she stay for 5 weeks?
I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't even waste my energy.
Right, you don't want to figure that one out.
But where we talked earlier, where people, the kids aren't working. You know, the summer jobs are, you know, if you take a walk around the city of Hartford, the kids are walking around with their cell phones and where they could be mowing lawns, working on that. So I'm not too happy with the mayor's programs right now to get the city. You know, there's a little... park they built on the corner of, I think, Gold Street and Main Street. Mm-hmm. And years ago, 25 years ago, they hired an artist to create this park, and they put 8 rows of boulders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at that time, a lot of people thought, boy, this was a ripoff. So, but if you drive by that park today, the grass is 8 inches tall, 12 inches tall. They don't even mow it. They don't take care of anything.
Is that because
the
they can't find anyone, or just it's not that important to them? They don't want them.
You know, I don't know. If you want to rebuild your cities, you want to make it a positive place to live, you know, you got to have some reasonable places to eat. You got to feel safe walking on the streets. Yeah. You have to have a clean, pretty environment. I mean, all we hear about San Francisco is, you know, the defecating on the streets, the needles on the streets.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, I don't know, because I talk to people who go to San Francisco, and they tell me it's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, are they just immune to it? I guess they see it every day, and that's...
Or is it how the media is reporting it?
Yeah,
is that all we're hearing about? Yeah. Same thing with Manhattan. I have clients whose kids live in Manhattan, and I said, oh, are they safe? Are they okay? Yeah, they have no problem. But we hear all the time about people being pushed in front of the subway cars. My point being, what do you believe?
Right. What do you believe? And I think people's standards just are much lower than they were when you were a kid and I was a kid. People accept a lot more today that never would have been accepted even like 20, 30 years ago.
Well, people have no respect for stoplights, for stop signs, for police. I mean, as I always say, justice is the foundation of a civilized society.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have that anymore. So, you know, if I have regulators coming in to deal with me, well, how do I deal with that? I mean, look, the small business guy who has the IRS show up at the door, or, you know, has the FBI show up at the door. Hmm. I mean, right now, isn't it kind of strange in our society that the most successful businesses are marijuana businesses?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Liquor stores, you find very few of those going out of business.
Right.
You know, let's play the lottery. Powerball is now $900 million.
I just said that the other day. Only one liquor store can I ever think of in this area that's gone out of business. And that was the one by the West Farms Mall, probably because they couldn't compete with Costco, the biggest seller of liquor. But they don't go out of business.
Who wants to join the Boy Scouts?
Right, right. And all these regulations, like you were saying, hiring a receptionist, 5 weeks she lasted and then quit, but you have to pay her $17 an hour. So the climate with regulations all means that businesses have to charge more. That causes more inflation. So how do we get out of that cycle?
Well, yeah, I'm glad
that's
you
the million
said
dollar
cycle.
Question.
Well, you know, we have our engineer in our studio today is a bleeding heart liberal.
Oh, okay, here we go.
And he's he's a great guy in spite of that. So I was telling him, you know, he was telling me about a new process for hair replacement and how he thinks that's pretty great. Well, if anybody knows me, I'm bald, you know, and I have been for many, many years. So I listened to him carefully, and I said to him after concluding, I said, you know, when you don't have a pot to pee in, and you're making a just getting by, you're a communist.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but you know, when you start to get a couple bucks and you say, you know, I'm losing my hair, I'd like to get it replaced, and it's not that expensive, I think I can swing that. Well, now you're a socialist.
Mm-hmm.
So now as time progresses and you say, you know, hey, I'm looking pretty good. I got my hair replaced. My job is going okay. Life's okay. You say, you know, I think I want to get myself a new car.
Mm-hmm.
I want to increase my image, get some nice shoes, nice outfit. You're now a capitalist. So
fewer regulations and more of a pro-growth economy will cause more to shift into capitalism.
Well, you know, explain it differently. I mean, why should I be paying $4 a gallon for gas from Venezuela when I can get $2 a gallon gas from Alaska?
Right.
Why?
Right.
I mean, where is the common sense to the small businessman? I mean, anybody that's a small businessman will look at everything I'm saying and say, that is correct.
Right. They understand it.
They understand
it. They live it every day.
And, you know, and we have people leaving the state all the time. And isn't it funny? You go to states, Vermont, very, very liberal.
Yeah.
Okay. You go to New Hampshire, very, very liberal.
Mm-hmm.
You go, you know, Massachusetts, very, very liberal.
Yeah.
But when they do polls on abortion and the waiting periods, 70% of people vote in favor of the waiting periods.
Right, exactly. And you don't hear really that as a political issue. You hear the abortion issue, but you don't hear about how many weeks. That's never part of the equation. Because they know that people will change their view.
Right. That becomes a big question of, so Vermont has a lot of independents.
Right.
New Hampshire has a lot of independents. So the silent majority, the independents, really, they're the ones who we need to hear, we need to listen to.
Well, those are the key ones. In the presidential election, that probably will decide the presidency, I would think.
Oh boy, you know, it's that's a great question. I mean, with this ballot harvesting becoming legal, the changes in the voting laws, I'm not sure we'll ever really have an honest election again.
I can't believe anyone could be an independent today. I'm just with what goes on.
Right.
I would think you'd be on one side or the other.
Well, a third party candidate is the kiss of death for one party or the other.
Exactly. That's probably going to happen.
But, you know, today, this whole election process is about, you know, what do we do about Biden? Will he end up being the candidate at the end of the door? And everybody hates Trump.
Right.
So you don't, at this point, have a lot of options. And if you take a look at the people, other people that are running, frankly, they just don't have a lot of experience.
Yeah. Right. If there's ever been a presidential election where where a third party could win, I think next year is the year.
Never happened.
You don't see that happening.
Ross Perot. They'll just, the establishment is so strong.
Yeah.
And I don't understand what their game plan is with Putin and what's going on with the alliance with China and Iran. I mean, we're on a collision course with the Third World War. And if you have children that are between, 18 and 30, you better be as scared as heck.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no regard for life. None of this makes sense.
Right.
And when you look at the illegal immigration going into Europe and going into the United States, there's definitely a premeditated plan for all of these items. So if you're sitting back and you're a businessman and you're evaluating the regulation, my guess is right now, if you're in the trades, you're doing pretty good.
Right.
If you're in personal injury law, you're doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. If you're in the tax return or audit business, you should be concerned about what AI is going to do. There's no stopping AI. It's coming. If you're in the insurance business, you better start planning on a new career.
Hmm. Wow. Well, AI is... it will change. It's already doing it.
We're going back to the 1800s, working with your hands, making things. I mean, you might use a machine to make things, but we're returning to that. And the big question is going to be, how are you going to keep up with all the technological changes?
You better call Stan, business coach for many, many years, taxes, real estate, asset protection, number one on your list, and personnel problems. And how do they get in touch with you, Stan?
Give me a call, 860-524-3408. Email is stan@stsworld.net or check our website, which is steeplechaseamerica.com.
Stan Sadlak, sponsored by Steeplechase Advisors. Again, 860-524-3408. I'm Drew Wilder. It is your business. Business talk, straight talk. And you better call Stan. Again, 860-524-3408. Hey, thanks so much for listening and have a good rest of the weekend.